Hi, it's Matt Catchum here, and welcome to the Business Success Club podcast. And in this session, you're going to be hearing me interview my mentor and friend, someone who I value highly. His name is Blair Singer, who's also the Rich Dad Advisor to Robert Kiyosaki in the arenas of sales, leadership, and also communications. You're going to love this podcast. Check it out now. Before I start, let me say welcome to this Facebook Live. I made a commitment last week that I would do a Facebook Live every single day just to reach out, just to say hi, just to say where are you stuck, how can I help, what can I do, just to help. So I'm very glad a lot of you joined me every single day, and I'm glad you'll keep coming back. And today we are in for a treat. It's a big treat. I'll say that because, let me say thank you and welcome before I introduce this amazing man. Now, 2005, I was totally lost. I mean, I was running a small computer company. I didn't know where I was going, what my mission was, what I'm supposed to be doing. I was lost, and I went to an event. And that event called Trainer Trainer, I came across this gentleman, Mr. Blair Singer. And the things he talked about just compounded everything. And I realized that the experiences I was going through and the losses in money that I was having, it was all supposed to be. And he taught me about leadership. He taught me about code of honor. He taught me about how to teach, how to present, how to communicate to masses and singly and to individuals as well. And what everything I've learned since 2005 has helped me become the business person I am, the communicator I am, the trainer that I am, the speaker that I am. And it's all because of this gentleman. So it's when he agreed last week to join us on a Facebook Live, he was like, yes, yes, you get to hear from my mentor, the person who's really helped me in the last 15 years in the arenas of money, communications, in terms of business, in terms of leadership. He's here right now. So I'm going to introduce you right now. And we are living in very uncertain times, unpredictable times, extraordinary times. And in order to survive, we need to have the fortitude. We need to have the focus to focus on the right things in order to get the right outcomes. And I spoke a lot about this last week. And so this is very conversational, Q&A as always. If you have any questions, please, please, please put it in the comment box. I'm going to go over to Blair right now, and then Blair can share with us what his thoughts are in a moment about how to really survive and thrive coming out of these unpredictable times, and how you can utilize your time. And if you have any questions, please chime in, and I'll ask the questions as when I get the opportunity. What you're about to hear right now, make sure you have your notebook, paper and pen, whatever you need. Get away from the social media, take notes, and hopefully also he'll may share a nugget with you that he invited me on the special call last week where Robert Kiyosaki shared some nuggets as well. He may jump into that. That blew my mind, that thing. And I'm going to hand over to. So Blair, thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being my teacher, my mentor. And thank you for agreeing to do this. So over to you. In these unpredictable times, what can we do with our time and in order to survive?
Well, first of all, thank you, Mac. And thank you for the accolades. Thank you for the acknowledgement. But the truth of it is that when we met, the only thing I think that changed is what was revealed in you was already there. A huge, generous person as you started this call, that wants to help, that wants to serve, that wants to reach out to as many people as possible. I've watched you over the years touch the lives of hundreds of thousands of people, you know, from your own heart, from your own content, from your own life experiences, which are amazing, you and your family. So if you guys are looking for a role model of where to go through these turbulent times, you're looking at him. You're not looking at me. You're looking at Mac. So thank you, man. It's an honor. And however I can support as well. It is unquestionably strange times to have all of these things happening at one time. And I think that the best thing that I can say, how to spend your time, what to do, is to understand from a bigger perspective, is that crisis, and one of my teachers, Mac Newton, said this to me, he goes, crisis is simply change that's trying to happen. Crisis is a change that's trying to happen. So I would write that down and just look at wherever there's a crisis going on, it's because something's trying to emerge or grow or change in that perspective. So the thing of it is that so for example, everybody has crisis. We all have crises in our lives. Where do they come from? It could be health. It could be financing, your business. It could be your relationships, all that stuff, right? And there's always invitations to make the change that you need to make, let's say in your health or in your finance. But we don't do it because it's not, there's other things to do. So we kind of push that can down the road, right?
Right.
Until it becomes a crisis. Like all of a sudden you go to the doctor and he says, dude, you know, your blood pressure's too high, or you're diabetic, or your back goes out. Now you've got a crisis. Now you are forced to change. But you had been given invitations all along the way to make the change. Mm-hmm. But you didn't take them. Now the God, the universe, the marketplace, whatever, throws, you know, anything that's been pushed down the road now comes to view. So the first thing that you do, find out where are the crises in your life. The crisis, as my friend Kiyosaki says in one of his tweets, which you should follow, is he says depression is what's going on between your right ear and your left ear. And so the point is that if there's fear, if there's anxiety that's coming up, that's a crisis. That's something you need to work on right now. Start working on that. If your finances are bad, you know, or you're prepared for that, that's what you need to be starting to work on. So if you've got time, I don't know how people have time right now, because it's the last 3 weeks I've been busier than I've been in my life, right? But if you do have the time, now's the time to work on that. Get educated, get study, get mentorship, whatever you need to do so you can plug the holes in the ship. So as you sail out of this thing, you're stronger. Some people won't do that. Some people will retreat and they'll hope when the smoke clears, if it ever does, that everything will be better. But that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Our world has changed permanently. Yeah. And anybody that's believing, anybody that says it's not, they're deluding themselves. So it's a great opportunity right now. The first thing you want to be able to do is to study and plug those holes wherever you see the crisis. That means that's change that's trying to take place, and you better allow yourself to go with the change. That's the first thing I would say.
Wow, thanks for that, Blair. Really great nugget there. Crises, you must change, you must study, you must continue learning. Because I think one of the things you taught me was how important personal development is, and constantly grow. And if you're not growing, then obviously naturally you're retreating, you're going backwards, you're dying. Now, let me say this. I'm going to interject at some point to see what questions people have. Right. So as questions come up, I'll bring it up. But certainly, thank you for that. And one thing you also say is personal development precedes business development. And I can see the consistency in what you're saying right now, that if you are not where you want to be, and you're not dealing with the crises in your life, then you must get yourself a mentor, you must study, you must grow. Thank you for that. Over to you. If there are any questions, I'll jump in anyway. Go ahead.
All right. Well, and here's the other thing. So while you're looking for questions, is that one of the things that that happens for people, particularly in business, is that the way you, like I said, things have changed. So for example, if you're a trainer, we're trainers, right? So if you're a trainer and you're used to doing live events in front of a room, well, that's over with, right? So, yeah. So I mean, I saw a video of Simon Sinek, who, you know, very famous guy, right? And a very famous author and speaker, you know, his whole business. And he actually posted a video of him talking to his own team on Zoom and saying, we got to reinvent, we got to get new jobs, we got to change everything. But to hit that point, had he seen 3 years ago that he should have been offline and be doing virtual and be doing more of that stuff, then he'd be in the position like some of our friends, you know, that are already there. They're just crushing it right now on social media and those things. So again, you know, you're always being given invitations to change. And I think, like you said, personal development right now, if you don't have, I tell people you should be doing A Miracle Morning, another great book that we use, this one right here.
Yeah.
You see
Miracle Morning.
Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. He's got a great process, great routine. I've been doing it for 3 or 4 years every morning. Still do it. Did it this morning. 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm doing this before my first call. And you know, and it just, you got to get your mind right. You got to get your mind right. High emotion, low intelligence, right? High emotion, low intelligence. That's the first thing. Because no matter what I tell you or no matter what Mac tells you, you're not going to hear it if your brain is someplace else. Okay, so that's why I say that the personal development part is really difficult. Well, it's not difficult, but it's important. It's important.
So thanks for that. Sandra Pretner says she wants to know what tool we're using which overwrites our voice text in written colors. I think you're talking about subtitles or something. Maybe, I think that's what she's talking about.
What process overrides your voice?
Can you tell us which tool you are using on Facebook where we hear your voice and text is written in two colors over your picture? Do you know what that is?
Okay. That's some of the marketing we're doing. We're doing some marketing where we've taken some audio tracks and we've just transcribed them. And those transcriptions are then edited, and then we play the audio, and the transcription comes up on the screen. That's quite simply what it is. I don't know how. Technically, I have no idea how to freaking do that. I just give it to somebody else to do it. Okay, but yeah, services that'll do that. You can get those services overseas for very, very inexpensive. I wish I could tell. If you want that kind of information, we have a Facebook group. We have a Facebook group where we're posting all this information. If you want to go look at it, they're all free content. It's Business Skills for Entrepreneurs in Crazy Times. Business Skills for Entrepreneurs in Crazy Times, Blair Singer. Just go there. We just put it up over the weekend. Free videos, free content, whatever. And so give us those questions and I'll post.
Business Skills for Entrepreneurs, Sandra. Go into Blair's group and you'll be able to get more information on that. Thank you.
Yeah, for all that. I'm not a technical genius, that's for sure.
Likewise, there's two of us here. So thanks for that. Guys, if you have any more questions, please bring it up. Please ask your question. Take the time to ask him, Blair, these questions while he's here. He's not always with us. Some people are saying, try rev.com, Sandra.
I've heard that one. That's a good one. Rev.com.
Aurora says, personal development is a broad subject, broad word. Can you explain a bit more about it? Anything in particular in personal development? So he's saying personal development is a broad word. Can you explain a bit more about what
it is? Right. Great question. That's a great question. So, what is personal development? My definition of personal development is winning the battle between your right ear and your left ear. That's basically it. And I always talk about your little voice. It's one of the books that I wrote. And it's a little voice that goes, you can do it. No, you can't. You're too smart. You're too dumb. You're, you know, whatever, all that garbage. The world's going to come to an end. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, all those things, the ability to control that, whatever it is. And there's meditation, there's visualizations, there's therapy work, whatever it is that works for you, but you have to engage in some of that if you want to succeed. Back in the early mid 1980s, Kiyosaki and I made a huge big commitment to that goes on to this day. I think it's our secret weapon. The thing that allows Mac, myself, Robert, to be able to do what we do is because we spend so much time working on the space between our ears so we can be clear and present.
Yeah.
Clear and present. And if you want to test that, just go, those of you that are out there, talk to somebody that's a little freaked out about this crisis. Talk to them for just 5 minutes, and not even 5 minutes, 2 minutes. Look in their eyes and see if they're really present, and you'll see they are completely checked out. They'll be physically there, but mentally they are not even hearing a word that you're saying, right?
Yeah,
and that's the price of not working on yourself. That's the price of not learning how to control your emotions. You know, we talk about sales, you know, sales equals income, right? Which is, if you're an entrepreneur right now, the most important thing is to be able to, is to retain your income. This is what we're spending a lot of time helping people to retain your income. How do you attract it, convert it, deliver it in a whole new way with a whole new message? And, you know, if your little voice is freaking out, you're not going to be able, you're not going to be effective at all. You're not going to be able to learn these lessons. Like one of the things that, another great source, if you want to look him up, Jordan Peterson. You know, he's done some, written some books. He's a psychologist, very popular these days, somewhat controversial. He was talking about sales, and he says, you know, the traits are, you know, if you're a little you're going to be assertive, bit of an extrovert, but here's the point I want to make. You also have to have a certain level of emotional stability.
Yeah.
Emotional stability. Why? Because sales is a contact sport.
Right.
It's a 50-to-1 odds. Maybe if you talk to 50 people, only one of them is going to say yes to you. So you've got to have the emotional strength to be able to keep going, to be able to not take it personally, all those things that we train to do. If you're trying to do it in the middle of a crisis, learn in the middle of a crisis, you can. There are strategies for that. But it certainly helps if you've been preparing for whatever the world throws at you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So thank you for your question there, G. Hopefully that I know you're a coach yourself, and hopefully that answers your question. I want to say shout out. Hello, Robert Riopelle is on the line. Robert Riopelle.
Hey, Robert. Morel.
Yeah. Grant Morel's there. Hello. Good to see you, Joanna. Rupa. Adam, Nathan, Karina. Good to see you all. Sandra, good to see you. Another question. Tom Cook, who's one of our coaches, he says, so is Grant, he says, we all know about morning routines and El Harod and all this. We know about Miracle Morning, and we do, and morning routines are important. But he says, what about evening routines? What do you guys do in the evening? That's a very good question.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. Well, part of my morning routine is linked to my evening routine. So in the morning routine, part of the journaling part is I do a gratitude exercise in the morning, and where I set a goal for the day, 10 things I'm grateful for, that kind of, among some other things. Now, at the end of the day, what I do is I pull out that journal again. In fact, here it is. I'll show you my journal. Right here. Okay. Pull out my journal. And I open it back up to, you know, and to the stuff I wrote in the morning. And so here's the stuff, you can't read it, but here's the stuff I wrote in the morning. And then at the end of the day, I ask myself three questions. How did I do regarding my goal for the day? So what did I learn based upon the goal that I set earlier in the day? That's number one. Number two, what did I give to other people today? What did I give? Did I give leadership? Did I give compassion, love? What did I give? And I write that down. And then the third thing, is, what am I happy about right now? Now, even if I'm not happy, I got to find something to be happy about. So I write down what I'm happy about. And usually I'm happy that I made it through the day, and I have great friends, a great family around me, and I'm living and breathing, okay, even if that. But here's the big one, okay? You ready for this? Yeah. Little drum roll.
Go ahead.
The big one is I write down all your wins for the day. Mm. Write down all your wins. So you see right here, you know, a big list of wins at the end of every day. So what are those wins? And those are personal to you. And I would say I had a great Facebook Live with Mac Atram. That's gone on my list. And I felt reignited because I love helping and supporting and teaching. So that's a win. You know, the weather is beautiful today. That was a win. Somebody came up to me and said, thank you. That's a win. Whatever it is, I was able to go for a walk today. Whatever it is, you just make a whole list of all those wins exhaustively and then go to bed. That's my evening routine, because then what happens is that that's the thought that your subconscious works on, and you wake up a lot more refreshed the next day.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for that, Blair. Yeah, it's all good nuggets here. So keep your questions happening. That's really good in terms of your... So, Tom, hopefully that answered your question for you. Alex Vitillo is on the line as well. How to, at this present time where people don't want to part with their money, how can you, what can you do to charge, or where should you be positioning yourself to charge them for your services?
Yeah, you know, that question's come up a lot over the last couple of days. Let me address it. Some people feel like, well, should I even be selling right now, right? Because I don't want to be predatory. I don't want to be predatory, but I also got to generate income, and I got to add value, blah, blah, blah. So I understand all that. And I think that in these times, a couple things to keep in mind. Two things. First of all, you got to retain your clients. If you have clients, you want to be able to retain them. You don't want to lose them, okay? Sometimes what that's about is maybe give more to your existing clients for the same prices that you're charging. It's kind of an interesting concept. So give more for the same price. So like right now for VSTA, for all of our trainers all over the world, we do a monthly call. Now I do the call every week, okay? And for some of my senior guys, we do it two times a week. We do personal sessions. So I'm not charging them any more money, but we're doing giving them more for the same. That helps retain a lot more value. On the flip side, if you're trying to get a new client, provide the same that you're doing now, maybe for a little less money than you would normally charge, because they're difficult times, right? But I think that to say that you feel bad about charging them money, that's your own little voice, okay? But you can make accommodations for that. And here's the other thing. And this is, I'm being brutally honest with all the entrepreneurs out there, because two things. Because first of all, I believe that in this day and age, Robert and I talked about this the other day, in this day and age, your true path to financial freedom, if you really choose, see with my mind, is as an entrepreneur. If you're an employee, you're at major risk going forward.
Yeah,
is be an entrepreneur. And we're talking about the entrepreneur that Mac is, the type of entrepreneur that we've studied to become, right? That's part of it, right? But I think that the thing of it is that Robert asked me a really good question. He goes, when this whole thing came down, based on that, he said, so who's your customer? Who's your customer?
Listen very carefully, guys. Listen very, very carefully. This is important.
Right? Who is your customer? And so I was kind of fumbling around, and he goes, is that who your customer? And so what became clear is that my customer almost overnight had changed. My customer, in some cases, was not even the same person.
Yeah.
If my customer is now standing in an unemployment line collecting unemployment, they're not my customer anymore. I love them. I can give them free content and do that kind of stuff, but they're not my paying customer anymore. I can't do that. I mean, I could, but I'm not going to spend my time doing that. But there are other people who now are my customer because maybe their businesses have gone into an emergency mode. They're still cranking and they still need to generate income. They still have some money. So the first question to ask yourself, who's my customer?
Okay.
Are they the same as they were a couple weeks ago? And if it's the same person or the same entity, what do they really want right now? If you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, if you guys all remember that, you know, at the top is actualization and being your best and market share. At the bottom is survival. Next to all is security. Next to that is belonging. And so all of a sudden, we call that, we used to get in the old days, we call that a downshift.
Right.
For a lot of entrepreneurs, what happened is that whole hierarchy just downshifted that their needs are at a more base level. So your language has to change. Your message has to change. You know, you see a lot of opportunists out there. They're going about how to make money in the downturn and, you know, recession proof your business or crisis proof your business. And we use some of those terms too. But the question is this, are you really addressing the real needs that people have right now? not that they had before.
That's right.
What are the needs they have right now? So I think that my message to entrepreneurs out there, this could be the best time for you. It could be the most devastating time for you, either way. But the thing of it is, and there's some businesses that truthfully, every single person, whether you're in business or not, you need to pivot whatever it is you're doing if you haven't done so. I mean, I've been getting like 4 or 5 hours sleep a night, you know, because we're just repackaging, repivoting. Who's our market? How we and our method of delivery, So it's exciting. It's exciting, but you've got remember the first line. Crisis is change trying to happen. Don't resist the change. Go with it. You may screw it up. We'll all screw it up. That's normal. But you'll correct and you'll get better. But trying to hold back and say it's all the coronavirus is going to go away and then everything will be fine. And if I could just hold out, you know, that ain't going to happen. Just give it up, man. Give it up.
Fantastic. Guys, I hope you're getting all these nuggets here from my mentor, my teacher. And every time I just got to spend 5 minutes with him. And my, you know, reason why I became a teacher, a trainer, a coach because of him, because every single time he was like, it's bigger than you, Mac. It's bigger than you, Mac. The reason why I'm doing these Facebook lives this last week when my clients needed help is like, I had Blair in my head saying, give them something, give them something. So, okay, I don't know what, but let me see what, let me ask the question, what do you need? And let me answer those questions for you. And I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm not worried about it. The Facebook Live, I just want to give. And if people find it of value, which you say you've been, then fantastic, great. We've got a few more questions here. I want to say, Hannah, good to see you. Tom Cook, Conchetta, Carol, Nuama, good to see you. One thing someone said was this. Charmaine, good to see you. What is a business decision you made that you're grateful for from a present point of view where it's keeping you mentally and financially and emotionally stable, a decision you made some time ago that you are so grateful for right now?
Well, I wish I was that smart that I actually made a decision that proactively put me in a good position, but I'm not that smart. I think because I've probably made more bad decisions than I've made good ones over the years, but I think that there's two of them, and now that I think about it, I think one of the best decisions I made was to build a team. That the basis of the business I wanted to build, particularly in the training business, was to build a team. I think that because I tell people I've got, you know, you'll see when you get up to if you go to the Business Skills for Entrepreneurs and Crazy Time site, this will be up there this afternoon, is that I talk about the seven things that a business owner or entrepreneur should be doing right now, and immediately. And we did it on day one, and it turned out to be fantastic. And that is bring your team together. Call your tribe together. Bring them together in a time of crisis. Bring them together. That's number one. A guy by the name of Chris Martinson wrote a book called The Crash Course, and about predicted all the things that are happening. But the one big takeaway I got, he goes, the greatest asset, so listen closely. This is not me. This is Chris Martinson. The greatest asset that a person has, a business person, an individual, the greatest asset you have is not your property, is not your real estate, is not even your goal. It's your community.
Right.
It's your community. And so what Mac has done is created a great community here. And that's always your strength, because the amount of resources that sit within whoever's listening here, the amount of resources that are there. I just got off of a call this morning. This blew with some of our team. Just blew my mind. I have no freaking idea what they're talking about, but their skills and their abilities and our abilities together just create magic. Right. So I think that the best decision, is it Charmaine?
Yeah.
is to have a team and to build, not only to just have a team, but to build my business around a team, around nurturing a team. I think the second decision was the first team was to have a great team of advisors. Being associated with Robert since 1980 something has been a gift. I mean, I just tell you, it's been torture and it's been a gift. It's torture because he's relentless, and Mac, you know, you've spent some time. The guy is not a comfortable person to be around sometimes, but he's hugely generous, and his guidance and his support as one of my advisors and all the other Rich Dad advisors that I'm blessed to be a part of that group have been just priceless. And I can say that if every disaster I've ever been a part of by my own making, or a crisis we've been in, whether it was 2008, 1987, all this stuff, what's always pulled me out is a team, never me. It was never me. The one thing that I bring to the table is I have the ability to communicate and a lot of discipline. That's what I can do, and a lot of experience. But you got to know your strength. But if you've got no team, you're on your own. You're trying to figure all this stuff on your own, man. Forget about it.
It's hard work on your own. I definitely know that. I haven't experienced that. Hey, quick shout out to Taiwo. He's on our. You've got a lot of your team members here. Our team members here as well. Taiwo. Cassie, good to see you. David Wong, Candy, King Wong's here. Annette Schreiber, also my wife Linda's listening from the office. Amazing.
Hey, good for you, man. I don't know if my wife doesn't listen to me, man. Is your wife listen to you?
Yeah, there you go. Catherine Bates, good to see you. Hannah, Sandra, Jaina, good to see you as well. Let's go to another question here.
Okay.
Actually, before we go to that question, can you touch on what Robert Kiyosaki said last week when I was on your call, and he talked about metamorphosis?
Without the language?
Without the language, without the expletives, without the F-bombs, I know that's his style, but... You know, some nuggets like that can just be a mind shift, a paradigm shift for a lot of people. So if you could touch on that, it certainly was for me. It was like, okay, I get it.
Sure. I think that he started off with a definition. The word was metamorphosis. Metamorphosis is the word. And he said he looked it up in the dictionary, and he said metamorphosis – I'll try to paraphrase this. Metamorphosis is going from a immature stage, transforming into an adult mature stage. So it's like, you know, the classic caterpillar to the butterfly type of thing, right? But it's there's a transformation. But he says what's significant about the transformation in a metamorphosis is that it's going from an infant or an immature state to a mature or adult state. Now, what does that mean? So what that means to him is that all of us need to grow up. Mm. Need to grow up. Start acting like adults. Stop acting like children. I mean, literally speaking, which is what he was saying. He said, you know, you just got to put your pants on every day, go out there, face the music, and grow up. And stop waiting for, you know, the danger here in America right now with a $2 trillion bailout for the American public is that people right now that are unemployed are actually going to make more money per month being unemployed than they were working. I mean, it's crazy stuff, right? They're going to get their unemployment check, plus they're going to get another couple of checks from the federal government to keep them going. And I'm going, that's not moving anybody to a mature stage as far as I'm concerned. No. You know, and so our education system has failed in so many ways. I mean, we could be here for another 5 days talking about that. But I think one of the biggest things that it's failed in is not taught people how to be resilient. Not taught people get punished for making mistakes. You don't get supported like, okay, what did you do wrong? Do it again. How do you do this again? What did you learn from the experience? And so what happens is the few people that do learn it become entrepreneurs. And the few people that bolt out of that system, you know, I mean, I don't know how you did in school, probably did okay. I did not great. Yeah. But to Robert's point, it has no effect. School has no effect on your ability to make money. for sure. And so I think that the piece you said about metamorphosis, and to write that down or draw a picture for yourself, from an infant immature stage to a mature adult stage, this is an opportunity to become the adult. This is the metamorphosis we're going through. It can be a little painful, a little uncomfortable, a little confusing, but it's there. And I will say this, there are some people, I said this on a post yesterday, that are just kicking back. You know, financially they're okay, they're just kicking back. Don't do that. Don't kick back, because at least take the time to study hard. Okay? Because, you know, the truth of it is that the world has changed. Your job, the job you have, may not be there when you get back. Okay? It may not be where you want it to be. You may have to make some changes. So make them now. Go through the metamorphosis. Go through the metamorphosis. And I know for some of you guys out there a little older, it's a little harder to do. I got it. I'm kind of in that age bracket, okay? I'm enjoying it, but I know friends that are not enjoying it at all, at all. And they're in complete denial about it.
Wow. So grow up.
What else did he say? He said one other thing that I could share. He said along these lines, and he got this from somebody else. He says there's three categories, I think, if I remember this right, of people. He says there are people that are fragile. In other words, they break easy. You can't say, you got to be careful what you say around them. They get upset real easy. First sign of trouble, they kind of freak out, and they always need somebody to take care of them. Okay? He says that's one level. He says another level is what he calls robust. In other words, they can take a hammering and take a beating a little bit. They can withstand the storm, but they don't change much. You know, they go, I got it. They don't change much. But then he goes, there's a third category. And this is, you know, you got to remember Robert Kiyosaki's a Marine. Mm. And he says it's called anti-fragile. Which means not only are you robust, but when the world comes at you, you come back at it even harder. When somebody tries to take you out, like it could be the economy or health or whatever, then you just come roaring back even harder. It's an attitude. It's like, nobody's going to take me down. It's kind of like when you're working out real hard. I'm working out with Mac Newton I can't do another push-up. There's a thing that clicks in your brain and go, nobody's going to take me. Nothing's going to stop me now. You know, you're going to have to do more than that to take me out. Yeah. So it's kind of an attitude that you don't operate from that way all the time. But there's this kind of this spirit, I think, that sits inside of people that you got to be willing not to be politically correct sometimes. You got to be willing to be out there, outrageous, express yourself, say what you feel responsibly, yeah. Okay, without emotion and all that, but to be willing to step up and be anti-fragile. I think that, you know, people that were there said those were the big things they got out of it.
Oh, amazing. And the analogy you used, he said the soccer players and the rugby players, and the soccer players are out there, that somebody touches them and they fall down, whereas the rugby players like, let's go again. And as entrepreneurs, you've just got to pick yourself up and go again. It's a bit like rugby, because he's a big rugby fan, right?
Right. And he was a rugby fan, right? He used to play a lot of rugby.
Exactly. So, hey, Carol Chan, good to see you. Katya, long time no speak, Katya. Barbara, good to see you on here as well. Sahil, Angel Yao, my goodness. David Tan, Daksha, Ritika, good to see you all. Birgit says, a lot of people say these are my favorite teachers. Well,
yeah,
fantastic. Thank you.
Nice to hear from you, Birgit.
Was that?
Yeah, nice to hear from Birgit.
Birgit, Jamal. Birgit.
So she's part of our BSTA group.
There you go. Okay, fantastic. Valeria, good to see you as well. Hey, guys, remember to share this. Share this Facebook Live right now. Go ahead and share it. People need to listen to this message. People listen to hear this stuff here. And you're right, Fame. Good to see you, Fame. The Anti-Fragile book is by Nassim Taleb, correct?
Nassim. Yeah, that's right. That's who it's from. Right.
Great book. Thank you. Yeah, I'm gonna get it. Highly recommended. So let me see if I had one more, another question. We've got a few more minutes. Grant Morrell says, I think you may have touched on this already. What's one of the biggest challenges you had in your life and how did you handle it? And what do you attribute that turnaround to or that success to? What was your biggest challenge? How did you handle it? And what do you attribute that to?
Well, I don't know that I can say the biggest one. I've had many. Sometimes at the time they didn't seem like a big one, then turned out to be. And sometimes I thought it was a big challenge and it turned out not to be. But I think the one thing that's in common with all of those, which I did kind of mention, was the team, with my team. My teams, whether it was in the air freight trucking business many, many years ago, whether it was in the training business, whether it was in even back in the surf shop business and on all those times, or even when I went through some very painful times many, many, many years ago in relationships, my first marriage, it was my team and my friends, my good friends, that made the biggest difference. Robert was a part of my life all through that. That's one thing that was in common. And I just great people and great teams. Back in the days of the air freight trucking business, so these guys were low, not very highly paid employees, hourly wages, some of them didn't even speak English, but their ability to come together as a team, band together and say, we got this, has always been my saving grace. And I just feel very blessed to attract great people like you, Mac, people like them, and people like that are part of our Blue Singer Training Academy group. And that's why we put this business skills for entrepreneurs, because I think the only path, but one of the best paths is to going forward as an entrepreneur, but not alone, not a solo S quadrant entrepreneur. Okay. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about real business, building a real team, a real functional team that's there to pick your ass up, dust you off and kick you out there and take on the world again. And that you do the same for them. And that you can survive just about anything with the right team. And not only survive it, but come out much better, much stronger. So, again, for all of you and some of the names of you, the people that you're talking about, I recognize. Yeah. I recognize those names. And I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. Being alone, working on your own, is a natural tendency. Natural tendency to be solo. But I'm telling you that that's good because it makes you strong. But I'm telling you that going forward, you need a team. Even if the team is only two people, even if it's just your family, whatever it is, it's your team that's going to take you to the next level. And it's also the one when you're out of ideas and you're out of hope, that's going to come up with that idea, this strategy, this resource, and you guys get better together. So that's my big message on that.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you very much for that, Blair. Just watching the questions as they come in here so we can cover as much as we can before we finish. Hey, Kieran, before I forget, let me say hello. Jello, Rajat, Elena in Slovenia with Damir, Sally Howe in the UK. Good to see you. Rabia, Jerome Saad from the Philippines. My goodness. Thank you for joining us here. Yeah, Sonia as well. Oh, yeah. Now, let me go to another question, which is from Sarah Goodman. And Sarah Goodman was asking about how to raise funds. Is there a way to raise funds at these times in order to move forward? And I don't know if there is an answer or if there is something out there, but any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, there's always funds for a good, workable, timely idea, okay? So depends on the kind of funds you're looking for. Are you looking for funds to build something? Are you looking for funds to fuel an existing business through sales? Are you looking for funds? You know, there's lots of ways of generating funds. So I think that, again, investors are, if you're looking for investor money, investors are looking for, obviously, they want a return on their investment, and they want low risk, and they want all those things. So the question is, do you have a model that does that? That's why, again, that's why I go to a team. I can communicate it. I can find deals. I can do things like that. But in terms of understanding the taxes, understanding the structures, understanding some of the markets and those kinds of things, I rely on great team players. Like Ken McElroy is one of the Rich Dad Advisors. Tom Wheelwright is probably the number one person on the planet when it comes to taxes. And I rely that team. When I come to an investor with that team, I have credibility. If it's just me, nobody's going to do it. You know, if it's like property. Right now, if you're looking to fund a business, you better have a good business plan and a good team.
Right now, she's saying it's to do with charity funds to purchase PPE items. I'm not sure what PPE items are to help a charity, not personal, but to help a charity, she says.
Yeah. I think that in these times, people are actually more willing to give to a charity. But again, you got to know who your customer is. It's not necessarily the person on the unemployment line. Although there is a statistic I read once, don't hold me to this, that people that lower income individuals actually give a higher percentage of money to charity, a higher percentage of their income to charity than rich people do, which I thought was really very interesting. Wow. Even though they have very little, but percentage-wise, they actually give a higher percentage to charity, to their churches, to their communities, to each other than others. So I don't have the experience of doing that. I sit on the board of the foundation. We know that our events, the events where we do fundraising, have all had to change. We're now doing virtual events to raise money. And you know what? The money's down a little bit. Churches are down a little bit. You know, but they're steady. You know, and as long as you continue to add value, and like I said, maybe give a little more for a little less. Give more for less. I know that a church that occupies our building, Impact Church, the church is closed because they can't bring people into it, but they broadcast now. And so what they've done is they broadcast, so they like tripled their reach now. So their congregation is now triple the size. Now the contribution per person is down a little bit, but overall they're still above, right?
And so more people.
Right, because they're adding a lot of value to more people. So they're able to pray, they're able to get to hear from their pastors in the comfort of their home. Our friend Jason Everett, right? You know Jason.
Yeah, I know Jason, yeah.
So church, they broadcast 20,000 people. 20,000 people at one time. That's right? And so their coffers are, you know, the money that they raise for their foundations all the time.
Here's something people have just been chiming in. PPE is personal protection equipment. Now, and I just realized what she's saying. She's raising funds for the health service, for the nurses, personal protection equipment, because they are out there on the front line, and I'm sure they need the mask and the gloves and all the rest of it. But I agree with you, Blair. You said right now people are willing to give. And so what I would say, Sarah Goodman, is set up some Kickstarter page, set up something, set up a Facebook group, set up a mechanism, tell people, and you taught me this, Blair, he said, share your vision, your mission, what is it you're trying to do? And when you do that, Sarah, people will be attracted to you, the right people, the people who believe in your mission and what you're trying to do. And when they're attracted to you and you show them, you share with passion and from your heart what you're trying to do, and allow them to give you the money that you can now pass on to those nurses and healthcare professionals. So set up something, but be passionate and let it be mission driven in this time when these people on the front line actually need us. You know, I said this last week that I'm so grateful that they're out there, they're doing that, they're serving, they're helping. Any thoughts on that, Blair?
Yeah, I mean, these are our first responders. You know, it was, you know, 9/11, it was the fire department and those guys. And these guys, our medical professionals, are the frontliners. And they are sorely understaffed, under-provisioned, all of that. And I think everybody recognizes that. And right now, the need is greater than ever because everybody's affected. Everybody's affected. And I think you find yourself, there's numerous websites where you can set up a funding type of an operation. But here's the thing. What's her name? Well, who's the person's name?
Sarah Goodman.
So Sarah, this is where it comes down. Your ability to communicate is going to make the difference, as Max says. Your ability to be passionate, to have a plan, and to appeal to a great number of people and to get reach. I mean, right now, Max got reach. I've got reach. You need to get reach too and get other people to share your post and do as many presentations out there into the world of social media as you can, because you can't go out there on the street and do it. So the good news is to get yourself broadcast, short, sweet, that right now the future of our planet, the future of your family is in the hands of a very few brave individuals who are sorely understaffed and are putting their lives and their families at risk for all of us. All they need is a mask. All they need is another couple dollars to get a respirator in there. It could be the difference between saving a life or losing a life.
Yeah.
And it's your dollar, that your pound or your euro that you put in could mean the difference to whether some child's mother lives another day or whether they don't. And if you and that's a fact. That's not hype. That's an actual fact. You know, you just look at places like Italy and places like that. I think, Sarah, it's a great message. But as the spokesperson, Sarah, you have got to deliver it passionately. And Matt can maybe even help you craft that if you're part of his team. But to craft that message sweetly, succinctly with emotion and passion and power. And I think that you'll have more than enough funds to support it.
Fantastic. Great share. Great point there, Blair. I appreciate that. We're going to be finishing soon, but I want to say, Sarah says, thank you. Cassie, good to see you. Matt Comandante says, Philippines is in the house and they're watching. Fantastic. Valentine, good to see you. We're going to finish in a moment, but I want to say thank you, Nada, for joining us. Tom Grease says, don't forget Thailand. We're in the house. Nada is in the house, obviously, as well, in Thailand. Lenny, Singapore. Marinda Fu, our friend Marinda, and she...
Hey, Marinda!
Yeah, so Marinda, thanks for joining on this call here. Pei Siong as well, Valentin, Vashkar as well. So we're going to finish off now, and I want to say thank you all very, very much. And in a moment, I'll ask Blair for any closing words he wants to give us. It's very early morning there in Phoenix, Arizona. I appreciate him being here with us to share. You know, at this moment in time where things are unprecedented, it's extraordinary. Nikoma, good to see you here. I think we need to look out for each other. We must support each other. And like Blair said, if you've got clients out there, and it may be not necessarily asking for money, but asking them, how can I help you? And if they're ready to give you their money for that help, great. If they're not ready, what value can you add? If their business is not where it used to be and they're still struggling, what other value can I provide to you? Can I give you this? Can I add this? And obviously you want it to be low cost to you, but if it adds great value to them, fantastic. Blair, any thoughts before we conclude today's Facebook Live?
Well, I think you said it, Mac. I think I just go back to what I said. I think your number one asset's your community. Number one asset's your community. Take care of them, communicate with them, instill confidence in them, and give them the confidence, give your team the confidence that they can do this. You can't promise them anything in these times. There's no promises you can be made. But what you can do is you can say that, look, you are capable, and together we get through this thing. Together we become better. Just remember, crisis is change trying to happen. Right. Let it happen and get on with it. That's my, so thank you, Mac. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you. Frank Drossman, thanks for joining us. Nicoma Bell, again, thank you. Victor Singh, thank you for joining us from Thailand. Blair, I want to say a massive, massive, I'm very grateful for you coming into my life in 2005, for helping me to become the person I've become. You know, there's teachers like you and my grandmaster, Trevor Nichols, who teaches me Taekwondo. Teachers like you make a big difference in this world. So I want to say thank you for waking up early, doing your exercise, and joining us. Hey, Thaddeus Lawrence is here. Taiwo, Sen Yi. Oh,
right.
Saying thank you, thank you, thank you.
Love you guys.
Thank you from the bottom. SM Rayman is Rayhan. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. And until we catch up again.
Come and join me in my free private Facebook group, The Business Success Club, where every day I share with you hints, tips, strategies, and principles for you to improve your business. Come and check it out now. Mac Atrum at The Business Success Club on Facebook.
God bless you. God bless all of you. Speak to you soon. Bye for now.